I'm going that way. I'm going that way.
I'm going that way.
I'm going that way.
And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me each day. He is with me each day. Well, I'm clinging to him. I cling to him and never to stray, and never to stray. Yes, singing his praises all day long. I'm going that way.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here today. If you're visiting with us, you are honored guests, and thank you for joining us in our fellowship this morning here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of worship service. It's just great to be here. Do you look forward to Sunday mornings? I do. I really look forward to Sunday mornings, to fellowshipping with the saints. You've been fighting with the devil all this week. Yeah, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord with people on the same team this morning. Yes, hopefully you've already had some good fellowship, some good folks said, hi, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Just hugging and kissing and doing whatever today in fellowship with one another. If you're joining us by way of television, thank you for tuning in. We hope we can say something that will touch your heart, prick your heart. Perhaps you may have a heavy heart this morning. You need to talk to somebody. You need someone to pray for you. We'll pray for you this morning. Those that's joining us by live stream, it's good for us to see. Well, we can't see you, but you can see us. Some of us, some of you are in the hospital beds or at home, just can't get out. We certainly wish that you could be here, but you can't right now, but God is still good. And we can share this with you this morning, and hopefully we can say something that'll uplift you this morning. I want to dive right into my lesson just for time's sake. We started a series a few weeks ago entitled The Authorized Biography of Jesus Christ. Authorized Biography of Jesus Christ. And we are swiftly coming to the end of this series. I thought I was going to be able to end it today, but I think I'm going to have to do one more lesson. But We'll see. I mentioned in the beginning, I don't want to rush this because I do believe that us knowing, understanding, appreciating Jesus Christ is the core of our existence. It is at the core of our foundation. And if the foundation is not sure, then everything we build on it is for naught, and it will soon fall. And I know. We said authorized because the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels that they are called, are the primary source. And I say primary now. We don't have the original manuscripts that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote, the original manuscripts. And we need to intellectually know that as we deal with the world and their contest of the Bible. But we have more manuscript copies of the writings than any other book, any other document on this earth. The Bible is reinforced more than any other document that you could put up to the Bible. Throughout the centuries, throughout ages, and even up to no more than the oldest text copies of the Bible, no more than 100 years from the original happenings in the Bible. And so we have, as we've gone through this look at Jesus Christ, we are able to take the copies that we have of the text, and we're able to transpose the copies, and we're able to confirm and verify the data that's on the copies to what true history is. Some of the cities, the places, the people that are mentioned in the Bible can be confirmed and reconfirmed over and over again. While there have been many attacks on the Bible and the Word of God, none of them can withstand the litmus test that the Bible has gone through throughout the ages and still is going through. And we've been talking about Jesus. We looked at his young life, what the scriptures say about his young life. The Bible doesn't say everything about his young life, but we examined partially of what it said about his young life. We looked at when he was baptized. We looked at it at even before he ever started teaching, his ministry, how he was tested, and we analyzed that, and we're still analyzing that. We looked at his miracles, and the Bible has much to say that we have not even delivered. But I want to read some texts and make some points this morning as we look at the message of Jesus Christ throughout his biography. And some mighty powerful claims. Why are we doing this so intently, Brother Gary? Because Jesus said all power is in his hands. And if somebody has all the power, who else you going to look to? Who else are you going to go to now? Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I am the way, the truth. And you know, there are a lot of folk that say that they have truth, but you got to put them to the test. And so we're putting our great God, we're putting the Word of God, we're putting Jesus even to the test, and he would have us to do that. He would have us to do that. He says he has eternal life. He says if you reject my words, that these same words are going to judge you in the last day, John 12:48. And so we're looking intently for us. Those of us that have already decided in our hearts and in our minds that we're going to serve Jesus, but there are those who doubt. And then there are those who just don't know how to defend what they believe. And so we continue to look at it. Look at Colossians chapter 1. I'm getting outside the Gospels right now. Colossians chapter 1. There are many who have written about Jesus. Listen to some of the powerful things that have been said about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. This is Paul now. He's writing to Christians, those who have been baptized into Jesus Christ. And, you know, just like us, we have to be reconfirmed. They had to be reconfirmed. And he said he's the image of the invisible God. Now nobody has seen God. But somebody has seen God. Why? Because Jesus came to this earth. And he said he's the image now. Jesus was the physical, he was not just the physical image of God, but everything about Jesus said God. When you saw it, him, when you heard him, when he spoke, when he taught, the words that he taught, the power in which he taught. Paul said he's the image of the invisible God. And I don't believe there's anybody in here that has seen God, have you? Don't say it yes. Don't say yes. Then he goes on and he says, the firstborn of all creation. Oh, that mercy, what does that mean? And some would say, was it Brigade? Was Jesus born? Are you misunderstanding the passage? We'll continue to read, you'll understand it better. It's not saying that Jesus was the first creation of all creation. He uses the term firstborn. It comes from the original word that means first in rank. He's first in there has been nobody ever that have ever been born throughout history and in the future that will outrank Jesus. Jesus maintains first place in all things, in everything. Jesus is, I got to admit, the motivation when I started this series, because I've been getting so many questions and inquiries from younger individuals who are intellectual and who say, well, Jesus was just another. No, Jesus was not just another man. And I know I'm biased. I'm trying to approach this intellectually but spiritually, but you got to get emotional when you talk about Jesus, if you believe in Jesus. And I do. My motive is to make, especially our young people, I want you to idolize Jesus. I was youth minister, and I'm around young people a lot of times, and I'm still around a lot of young people, and I hear the way they talk about somebody they idolize. And they get all excited. And when I ask the question, girl, did you hear the new song by Drake? And I know some of you older folks, I'm getting out of your territory right now. And they listen, girl, and they have headphones. Sometimes the kids walk around with these earphones on their ears, and I see them walking. I say, what you listening to? And they smile. I say, can I listen to you? Is it Logic you're listening to? Is it J. Cole? Now, I did my research. Is it J. Cole? Is it Chance the Rapper? Some of you old folks, you don't know nothing about this. Is it Chance the Rapper? I had to look at, is it Kendrick Lamar? Ah, you woke up now, didn't you? Yeah, you like to hear about them, don't you? Yes, and some of us, they have posters of them. And I got his song and her song. Oh, I won't, Jesus outranks Queen Bee, if you will. Amen, somebody. And you get all excited. We get all excited. And we spend our money and we travel distances and we listen to them all day long. But Jesus wants first, God wants him to have, he's the firstborn of all creation. Listen, verse 16, Colossians. For by him all things were created. You understand the essence of that. And I know that in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And sometimes we don't put Jesus in the right place. God created the heaven and earth, but Jesus is God. I know when we talked about his baptism, turn that with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. We talked about his baptism. You see the forms of God, all three forms at Jesus's baptism. And listen, I don't have time to read it all. Verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form. Now, this is Jesus Christ when he was getting baptized by John the Baptist. They're at the water, and God is now, he is manifesting. Jesus is getting ready for it, and he wants especially the people that's around him, especially his disciples, to know who is among you. And the Holy Spirit, the scripture said, it descended. So the Holy Spirit was up somewhere. It descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove. Listen to the rest of this. And a voice out of heaven, that's, now, so you have the Holy Spirit, the voice out of heaven, that's God. So you have God the Father, God the Holy Spirit out of heaven. He says, you are my beloved son, and you I am well pleased. So you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Father, God the Father, and you have God the Son. Now notice this. So you have the communicator, the Holy Spirit. You have the orchestrator. We're talking about the roles of God, the orchestrator who plans, and then you have the facilitator, Jesus Christ, who carries out the plans of God. This is who Jesus is. So he sends Jesus to this world, and he says, for by him all things were created. So God planned, Jesus implements. When he said, let there be light, guess who that was? That was Jesus. Listen, that's what else it says. Both in the heavens and on earth, the moon, the stars, the sun, the earth, and every other planet that's up there that we don't know the names of. Guess who called them into existence? It wasn't your idols that you idolized. It was Jesus Christ. And he has all the power. It says, visible things, things that you see, and things, the oxygen that you breathe, the gravity that's out there somewhere, the nitrogen that's somewhere, the atoms that exist, guess who called them into existence? Nothing but Jesus. Whether thrones or dominions, we say that the lion is the king of the jungle. Who made him the king of the jungle? Every rank, every hierarchy in the animal kingdom, in the air kingdom, in the sea kingdom. Jesus, you talking about somebody, you know some smart people, you don't know nobody. Nobody like Jesus who can call everything into existence. In the heavens, he says dominions or rulers or authorities. Then he goes on to say all things have been created through him. He's talking about Jesus and for him. Notice, when is Jesus' birthday? Ye don't have a birthday. Jesus is before all things. And in him, all things. It is by the grace of God that we all still here together. Today. Lord have mercy. And it's by Jesus that everything is held together. Then he goes on to say in verse number 18, he's also the head of the body. What's the body? The church. Now we get into his message now. He's the head of the body. And if you're not connected to the body of Christ, you don't have a chance. You don't have a grain of a chance to spend eternal life with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the beginning, the firstborn. This is why I said the first. See, firstborn, he was the firstborn of all creation. He's first in rank, first in preeminence. He's the firstborn from the dead. You mean Jesus was the firstborn? Jesus was not the firstborn, the first that was raised from the dead. Now, because some of you that know your Bible, you know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There are others in the Bible who were raised from the dead, like Jairus' daughter who was raised. What does it mean, Brother Gary? It means that Jesus outranks anybody else that has ever come from the dead. That means Jesus outranks everybody. Jesus is the first to be raised from the dead, never to die anymore. And the only one never to die anymore. Goes on to say, listen at it, that he himself will come to have first place in some things. Oh, you're reading. You reading, huh? In a few things. In everything. And we studied his biography. Jesus, God wants Jesus to have first place in everybody's life. What are you saying, Brother Gary? Before you make a decision, think about Jesus. Amen? You think that'll help us to live better? Yeah, you see, is that just for the old people? That's for everybody. Now, especially you young folks who you baptize into Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Brother Gary, I want to go to heaven. I want to go. That's good. That's great. God wants you to go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. Especially you our single folks, especially our middle-aged folks, especially all of us. You see a young lady and you say, well, man, ooh, she pretty, she cute, she fine, she cute, she fine, she pretty, she fine, she cute. How is she going to affect your relationship with Jesus? Oh, Brother Gary, it ain't that simple. It's that simple. You see a young man, and he play football, he play basketball, he's popular, that's nothing. If he doesn't have a fear for, if he don't want to know about, if you're single, Brother Gary, I'm trying to find me a husband, I'm trying to find me a wife. If you can't find him, if you find somebody and they don't want to have nothing to do with Jesus, they don't want to come to church, they don't want to read the Bible, leave them alone. Listen, you'll be all right. Oh, you married, but yeah, you married. I'm sick of that. I don't want to hear it. You will be all right. Ask some of these married folks. I'm serious about this one. I'm serious. But I need to hear that from a single man. You need to hear from the Word of God. Marriage don't save your soul. Yeah. Just pray, get busy, do the Lord's work, trust in the Lord. Now, if you're older, if we're older, Lord, I know. I'm just gonna say this real quick. Listen, Don't lose your salvation in your older age. Don't get crazy. Don't start saying, well, you know what? I heard all of this, and I've been through all this. I've been in the church. And I know what Brother Gary talking about. But you don't. We living a life like we have no fear of God. And this teaching is for everybody. It is for all of us. And Jesus Christ, God wants us, Jesus, to have first place in our decisions. Don't lose your influence in your old age. Don't start making decisions. Don't start making excuses for our ungodliness, our unchristlikeness. You can't just say what you want to say and do what you want to do and treat people any kind of way. Oh, that mercy. Yeah. Now, Jesus' message, Luke chapter 4. Listen to the core of his message. Now, first, see, God wants us to see. Listen, my son is to have first place in all things. And when we get him there, we will start learning of him. And we will listen to what Jesus has to say. And we will take it to heart because he has all the power. And he's not trying to bring us to a life of drudgery. He's trying to bring us to the good life, to the blessed life. Is there somebody here who understands? Really, the Christ-like life is the best life. It is. His message, Jesus, listened in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. This was the core of his message. But he said to them, this is Jesus talking, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Jesus says, the core, he said, he kept saying the kingdom of God. Now, we read earlier that Paul, after Jesus was dead, he says, he's the head of the body, the church. Now, the whole world is God's kingdom. God is ruler of everything. But Jesus came, God sent Jesus to die for our sins, to implement a plan that everybody on the earth can be saved. And God's, this is his plan. We read it in his biography. He kept uttering this over it. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God. It's not just the words kingdom of God. I must preach what the children of God, how they are to live in the king, in God's kingdom. And Jesus came to build this kingdom, implement this kingdom, and he had these teachings in his kingdom, and it's in his kingdom that we're going to receive salvation if we listen to Jesus. And he just kept preaching it. Listen to Luke chapter 8, verse 1. Luke 8, 1. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. He went from city to city. Prepare yourself. And the 12 were with him. And that was his message. Now, listen, we already talked about his miracles. His miracles were simply to confirm the word. The miracles were a sign to confirm the word. Notice, it is through preaching, it is through the method of preaching that God would get his message out to people if they're going to be saved. And, you know, I know that even some folks don't like to come to church. Some folks don't like to hear a sermon. There are many congregations. I go to preach some kind. They will give you the time. They'll tell you how long you are to preach, when you are to sit down. And I understand that you have a time limit. But it is through preaching. It is through teaching that the world will be saved if it's going to be saved. Jesus started that Paul was fully vested. The Apostle Paul was fully vested in the preached word. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. Now, just a little history. Now, you know, in the first dispensation, when Adam sinned, and they didn't have the written word like we have it today. And soon after they were thrown out of the garden, the people multiplied on the earth. And then there was violence. There was wickedness all in the earth. And God saw it. And it's like God regretted that he made man, because they were so evil, and he destroyed the whole world by water. Then Noah and his kids come out of the flood, and he tell them to multiply. And soon after they multiplied, somebody led them the wrong way. They tried to build a tower up to heaven and got rebellious against God and defying against God and going down the same track as they were going before the flood. And still didn't serve God the way God wanted to be served. And then God picks out I'm giving a general history. God selects a small group of people that he's going to carry out his plan to save the world. He told Abraham, you get out of your father's country and go to a land that I will show you. And God created the children of Israel, and he gave them the Ten Commandments, and he gave them ordinances and laws, and God was with them. He even appeared right in their presence. And Lord have mercy, they still defied God. Still got hard-headed and wouldn't worship God. But God now has sent his son to the world to die for all of our sins. And listen to what Paul says. He says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. And you know, we got some smart people in this world. We got some philosophers, some very smart people. When I was in school, it's when I learned about Nietzsche, one of the great philosophers of his time, who was so smart, so smart. But then he penned a statement that God is dead. He got too smart for himself. But a lot of people listen to him. A lot of people still listen to Nietzsche and his teachings and others' teachings. And there are other philosophers who are well respected because of their intellect, because of the way they can put sentences together, and because they can articulate these hypotheses of how the world got into existence and evolution, the Darwin theory, and how the world probably got into existence and it was created billions of years ago. They have all these philosophers, and they have schools and workshops, and people pay big money to go hear them talk. And people admire them and call them great. These men who are these theorists. Why, my goodness, is great. God says all these smart folk, all these intellectuals did not come to know me through their wisdom. Listen to what Paul writes. He says, did not come. God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. What are you saying, Brother Gary? Y'all smart. You think you're smart. But my way to save mankind is through the preached word. If a person is going to be saved, he's going to have to see, she's going to have to come to the table. He's going to have to come to the table. They're going to have to come to the worship service. They're going to have to sit and listen to the word of God. And here at the Fieldwater Church, we have all of these ministries that we have, that we're trying to get the whole church involved and serving. And we do outreaches, and we do singles fellowships and married couples retreats. And we're trying to reach people where they are. We have tutoring. We have all kinds of things that we're trying to serve folks. And that's what God wants us to do, to serve. But we are serving to get them to the word of God. Jesus preached that message, and he preached the kingdom of God. Lord have mercy. Listen to verse 22. For indeed the Jews asked for signs. Greeks seek for wisdom. See, the Jews wanted to see signs, and apostles perform signs. They perform miracles, and it's good to see a sign. Now, sometimes when I'm studying alone, I say, boy, I wish I could have seen those miracles. Do you not know, and we talked about it when we talked about the miracles, you not know that many of the individuals, especially in Jesus, they saw the signs, but they still didn't convert. Yeah, we can see a Martian come out the sky and light up on the sky and give a sermon, and some people go, he's not telling the truth. Some folk never believe whatever they see. They just want to see something to say. And then the Greeks, they want wisdom. And they want talks. And they want big words. And they want all of these theories. All you need to do is listen to Jesus. Yeah, and he said this. He said this, for we preach, notice this, for we preach Christ crucified. A simple message to the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Gentiles, foolishness, verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom. You know what? I want to say this gently. Everybody not going to heaven. And the scripture attests to it. You know, some people, I don't care what you do, they gonna figure out a way not to obey God. What you say, and there are gonna be some smart folks, there are some individuals who will listen to this sermon online. There may be somebody even here this morning in your mind, you say, brother, I heard it before, hurry up and get through. I got my own beliefs. And you know what? God, that's the kind of God we serve. God is so gracious. He hasn't done nothing to you yet. And he's long-suffering, isn't he long-suffering? He's long-suffering. He's not willing that nobody should pay. I said that we serve a good God. Because you know what? I'm just telling you, you know how we are. I know how I am. You know, if I knew I had the right answer, and I had all the power, and I'm sitting here, and see, you know, God knows what we think. Some of us, we think just our thoughts are so rational, and we are so rebellious. Have you ever had a rebellious child? No, don't you say nothing. Who just don't appreciate nothing. You've been doing everything, and they act like they don't see it. You've been feeding them. You've been clothing them. You've been buying them stuff, and they start acting like they running something. Don't have a sense, a clue. And see, if I was God, and I'm sitting there listening to all these thoughts, people getting in their head, don't want to listen, hard-headed, I would have wiped the, get out of here. But, you know, God good. And it is through, he says, it's that. But there are going to be some Jews who are hard-headed who are going to turn to the Lord. And there are going to be some Gentiles. Who one day that word is going to prick their hearts. So you know what? I've been trying this. I've been doing this. I've been trying it my way. I just need to submit to God's will. And he calls it the wisdom of God. My goodness. Listen, Paul, he states the message clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. It says, and he came and preached peace to you. And I don't want you to, I'm focusing on the message because we haven't gotten into the details of the message. But if you trust and if you love and you obey, if you honor the messenger, you're going to listen to what he has to say. He says, and he came and preached peace to you. And the message that Jesus Christ preached and preaches to all of us today through his word is a peaceful message. It's peace for everybody who will listen to what he has to say. You were afar off, that's the Gentiles, that's us really. And to those who were near, that would be the Jews, that would be the first ones who were exposed to the word of God, even on the day of Pentecost. It says, for through him, through Christ, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. That's his message. It's the kingdom message. It's the kingdom of God. It's the household. You're in the right place this morning. Those of us that have been baptized into Christ, we are carrying out the words of Christ. You are in the kingdom of God. And it should make you feel so precious to know that you are obeying God. Listen to what he says. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. He's the one. It's all about Christ. Yes. Admire others. read their material. Don't idolize people. No, don't idolize people. Listen, you know what I mean? Love and respect the elders. Love one another. Love all of the members of the church. Give those honor who honor is due. Don't idolize Brother Gary. Oh, that Brother Gary. Oh, we got to preach. I mean, that's okay if you want to say that. But Brother Gary is just a man of clay feet. Listen, I have my good days. Amen, somebody. Lord have mercy. But I'm telling you, I have some struggling days. Anybody have some struggling days sometimes? I do. Brooke, yeah, you have struggles? Yes, I do. Sometimes I don't feel like getting up. Sometimes I don't feel like, if I tell the truth, sometimes, you know, sometimes when I'm reading the Bible, it's like I'm not reading it. Because, you know, life, you see, sometimes life will wear on you that you're reading, but you think about, these children just getting on my nerves, and I got to do. But you know what? That's the battle we have in this world. But guess what? You know what? I don't stop reading. I don't give up on reading. You keep reading because when we are weak, he is strong. And it always seems like God just showed you something. God lifts you up. And you know what? And you say, I'm going to trust in the Lord until I die. Yeah, and so you don't quit. We don't quit, and we put all our trust, but people are going to let us down. People are always going to let. Listen, when you start trusting in somebody, something happened in you, and they fall, then you fall. But we serve a Savior who was tempted and tried at every point, yet without. Listen, let me give you one verse. I have to stop in 4 minutes. Let me give you one powerful principle of Jesus's kingdom teaching. His message was preaching the kingdom of God. But oh, he had some strong teaching that had never been heard before. Listen to Matthew chapter 7 verse 12. Matthew 7 12. He said this, and that's why I said in everything. Everybody say everything. Now what does that leave out? This is Jesus' word. He teaches this principle. He says, in everything, therefore, treat people. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you. He said, this is the law and the prophets. Now, the law and the prophets, that's the old law, all of these ordinances, they had all of these rules and all of these ordinances. You can don't, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, all of these laws. Jesus said, look, let me give you a nutshell of the whole old law and the prophets. He said, if you'll do this in my kingdom, if you learn how to treat people the way you want to be treated, You will have mastered a principle of life that will carry you throughout life. Yeah, now Nietzsche, you pull on that. Yeah, let me hear some philosophy. You know, Nietzsche, he died insane. See, what it was, honestly, if you just read this, honestly, he was so smart. He knew what the Bible taught. And he didn't want to live the principles of the Bible. You know, and sometimes when you don't want to obey God, you want to do what you, and I can't tell you other things about him, but he had to live a vile life in the end. What are you saying, Brother Gary? See, if you don't want nobody lying on you, don't lie on them. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Listen, okay, people disrespect me. Respect people. And I know everybody doesn't live by this principle, but Jesus says, listen, if you want your wife to be faithful, you be faithful. Amen, somebody. Yes, you want people on your job to speak to you, speak to them. This is a principle in life. If you at a meeting and you want to be heard, listen. Don't talk all the time. It applies in every area of your life. If you want people to honor you, you know, sometimes you want people to compliment you, compliment them. Yeah, I want to be honored. If you want somebody to visit you when you get sick, Don't complain when nobody don't visit you if you don't visit. Amen, somebody. Okay, I didn't see so-and-so at my funeral. Do you go to somebody's? Oh, Jesus, you the one. Jesus, you the master. I'm hoping and praying that we as a church will idolize Jesus. We will study Jesus. We will master his character. Listen, Jesus, because he didn't just teach it. He lived it. Don't you want a coach who coaches you and who not only tells you how to do it, but he can show you how to do it? Don't you want a preacher that does not just preach the word, but lives the word? Don't you want a mama or daddy who don't just tell you what to do, they show you? And that's what we have in Jesus in every area of his life. You're here today. It's all about Jesus. He died for our sins. And if you believe that Jesus came, he lived, he died for our sins. That we can too have the opportunity to be in his kingdom. And he wants everybody to be in Jesus. Oh, Lord, Jesus is not prejudiced. See, if you got prejudice bones, if you got prejudice bones in your Bible, you need to pray about that. I know, Brother Gary, the world is so racist. It's just some evil people. Like every race. Black, white, brown, got prejudice folk in it. Amen? Stop putting everybody in the same bucket. Because, you know, there are prejudice folk, racist folk. You just stop doing it. And let's be like Jesus. If you've heard the word of God this morning. If you believe that Jesus Christ came, he lived and died for all of our sins. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ and be baptized into water for the remission of all your sins, then you are in Christ. I love it. I love it that, see, when you're baptized into Christ Jesus. And, yeah, you know, the Rockets lost last night. I got one more shot at it. Why are you bringing up the Rockets, Boogie? Let me say this. Yeah, no, they need more than Jesus. See, I'm baptized into Christ. That means I'm on Christ's team. I know you play team sports. You know, everybody don't have the same talent, so but I'm telling you, but sometimes it's just if you on the right team. See, Christ can make up for many of our weaknesses. And I don't know what the Rockets need. I still think that they can win the game. I think they got a good team. But you know what? If the Rockets win or if they lose, guess what? We're going to be all right. Amen. But if you're not on Jesus Christ's team, you won't be all right. I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you, if you're not on Christ's team, you're going to lose. Oh, you will lose. And you know what? And if you lose without being on Christ's team, there is no next year. So if you're here today and your heart is tender and you want to serve Jesus and Jesus alone, you need to come to him and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody else. And then you are added, notice, to the body, the one body, his one body. You added to his team and his team alone. And you're on God's side. And if you need to do that today, won't you do it right now as we stand and sing?
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust. Yeah. In the Lord,
yes,
I will trust in the Lord until I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust. trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield until I die. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm gonna stay on the battlefield.